This morning we are going to learn about a lady by the name of Ruth. And if you were with us through the Advent season, you thought, boy, we thoroughly exhausted the book of Ruth as we went through Advent, and what else can there be in this book? But we're going to tackle this a little bit different this morning, and as you can see the title, Ruth, A Friendship is Born. And so we're going to look at, and we're going to read here just a little bit about Ruth 1, verses 15 through 18. But we're going to take this approach, and we're going to look at the whole of the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters, and we've read that entire book in front of church here through Advent, and you know the story well. And so I'll highlight some things and go through some things, but we're going to look at the overall theme of what that book looks like and what that means to us as a congregation this morning. And so I'm going to specifically point some things back to you as the congregation about what friendship should look like in the church. And so there's some points in here that we have some work to do, to be real honest with you. And I'm going to bring that out of what that might look like and so on. And so some of you might feel, God, he's kind of stepping on my toes today. And that might be my intent today, to step on those toes a little bit, to know what a church should look like and the inner workings of it as we have relationships with each other, especially between different generations. And so those can be hard things to navigate, but we have a great story here in the book of Ruth with Naomi being the older, more of the mother-like to Ruth as a mother-in-law. And so we're going to learn about that today. So turn with me to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And you know the story well, and we'll get into that in the message. We'll unpack this a little more. Here's what the word of the Lord says. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." Now, we know that they've both lost their, all three of them have lost their husbands, and they're in the land of Moab, and Naomi, she wants to return to Israel. She wants to go back and to be with her people. And so she encourages her two daughters-in-law, "Return to your people. Make a new life for yourself." One decides to go back, Orpah. But one decides not to. And this is what Ruth says. "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me.' When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we've heard from your word this morning, and Lord, may you just unfold to us this story of a great friendship between Ruth and Naomi. And Lord, I ask that your spirit fill me and give me the words to speak this morning. May these words be your words and never my own. And Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here today in your presence to hear your word. Lord, may that same spirit fill their hearts, their minds, and their souls. And may you teach them something new. In Jesus I pray, amen. There were two farmers one day that had gathered by their fence to have a conversation. They were good friends with each other. And as they were talking by this fence, this pig walked by with a wooden leg, if you can about imagine. And the one farmer said, kind of in amazement, "Is that your pig?" And the other farmer smiled and said, "Yes, that is my best friend." And the other farmer asked, "Well, why is that your best friend?" "Well, you see, our house is on fire one night, and that pig woke us up. And one day I was working on the tractor, and the tractor fell on me. And that pig dug a hole underneath me and saved me and got me out from underneath that tractor." Well, and the other neighbor farmer thought, "Why does that pig have a wooden leg then?" And the other farmer kind of chuckled a little bit. "Well, you know, it's such a good pig, you can't eat them all at one time." Kind of a funny story about friendship, isn't it? So my question for you this morning is, what does a true friendship look like in your life? especially when we think about the Bible and the story of Ruth and Naomi. What does that look like? We have a great story here this morning to demonstrate that to us. We know that Ruth's story begins about 1100 B.C., at the end of the period of the Judges in the Old Testament. And if you look in your Bible and you were to flip back from the book of Ruth, you'd go immediately to the book of Judges. So about 1100 B.C. is the time frame we're talking about here this morning, a century before David would be born. It's an age that is often described as confused. Anarchy was the norm, and unfaithfulness to God or the law of God was very common in the people of God. 1100 B.C. We also know that there was a great famine in the country of Judah. You know, Judah is part of Israel. It's the southern kingdom. Israel's the northern kingdom. They're divided at this time right now. Still all one people of God. The Israelites all live there. We know that there is a famine there. It's dry. Nothing's growing. They have no food to eat, which caused Elimelech and his two sons, along with Naomi, to move to the country of Moab. Which you see that if you see there, it's on the other side of the Dead Sea, if you see the picture of this morning. So they move, and I'm reading this backwards to you so you know. We seen yesterday that, or last week, we talked about Jericho and Rahab across the river. Now we're on the other side of the river, we're in Bethlehem. And so they're going to move to the other side, to the country of Moab, which sits right over here, is where they're heading. And you might wonder, well, what is Moab like? Moab was described as a very desolate region. It was a high tableland. No trees grew there. Grass was there. It was good for grazing herds of sheep and goats and camels and whatever else they had. But it was an arid region. Very little rain fell there. So you can about imagine how tough the environment was in Judah that caused Elimelech and his family to move to Moab, to another very dry, arid region of the world. And so let me just explain to you a little bit about this country of Moab and who Ruth is. Ruth is a Moabite. She's a native to this land, the land of Moab, which I just described to you. She grew up here. Now you might wonder, where did the Moabites come from? And so let me tell you this morning as well. The Moabites are descendants of Lot's oldest daughter, and whom we do not know, but if you go back to Genesis 19, verse 36 and 37, you'll read about this story and the people of Moab and where they came from. But this came from an incestuous relationship with their own father, is where this line of people originated from, the people of Moab. And so, not a very true line of people. A lot of problems, a lot of issues, pagan and so on, this land was filled with. And so the relationships between the Moabites and the Israelites was not good. Often there would be very high tensions. Sometimes clashes would even break out because people would not get along. And you wonder why. What is Elimelech thinking? Going to a country within Moab that he's probably not very well liked. A place that's dry and arid where it's pretty much just good for grazing. By the way, there's no shade there. How hard that must be to live in that type of a land. And get this, the Moabites, they worshipped false gods. One of their most key gods was a god by the name of Chemosh. And it involved human sacrifice. As they worshipped this false god in the land of Moab. And so you might figure out that the Moabite culture was everything the Israelites were not. Sinful, idol worship, against God's people as well. So it tells you how desperate Elimelech was to move his family into this type of an environment. And we know that tragedy comes quickly to this family. It's tough. It's a tough environment to live in. And when Elimelech passed away, we know that his two young sons, they married quickly. Unfortunately, the wives they took were Moabite wives. Can you about imagine what kind of blessing they would have had if they would have lived in the land of Judah or the land of Israel? The Moabite wife would have been forbidden. This marriage would not have been recognized in this land. This was not how it was supposed to be. Keep that in the back of your mind as you go through this message this morning. This is not what it was supposed to look like. This is not what had been appropriate for them to marry these two types of women. And after they get married, shortly after that, both these two men die. And we can only assume, we don't know why, but it's such an arid environment. There was disease back then. There was famine back then. We can only imagine that these two men were stricken with something that took their lives. Mahlon and Chilion were their names. And they died. And so these three women, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth, were left to fend by themselves in this God-forsaken country of Moab. And so we know that Ruth decides that she's going to return to her country and to her people in the land of Judah. And we know that the story is that God is beginning to bless the land of Judah, and rain was starting to fall there again, and people were growing crops, and they had food. And so this is her reason to return. And so she says to her two young daughter-in-laws, you could just as well stay with your people. You grew up in this land. You're used to worshiping the false gods and so on and so on. You won't know anybody in the country where I'm from. You might even be outcasts. And Orpah agrees. She leaves. She returns to her people and to their ways. But Ruth is a totally different story. And that's where I want to pick up our message this morning. And so we learn about this. And this is what Ruth says to her. On the bottom of your screen, Ruth 1:16 and 17. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Don't urge me to do that. I know where I'm going to go. I understand what I'm getting into. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God," is what she says to Naomi. You know, in a sense, Naomi was testing Ruth. Ruth, you know where you're going to get into. You know what I believe in. What are you going to do if you think you're going to go with me? And Ruth has an awesome answer for Naomi. Because Ruth, what Naomi's really saying is, do you really believe in my God? And Naomi says, yes. Your God is my God. I believe. And she gave a great public profession of faith right there to Naomi. And what does Naomi do? She's silent. But let me ask you this question. We see this story unfold right here of this relationship as it begins when Ruth says, "Your God is my God." Here's a question I have for you this morning. If you think about the faith of Naomi and the influence she must have had, this is my question for you as a people today. How does your faith influence other people? And here's a deeper question. Do you encourage people towards God or away from Him as you live your life? And I realize, well, there might be times we might do both. But what are you trending towards? What are you earning for? What are you growing towards? And what do you wish to do as you live out your life of faith? Do you want to be drawn to influence people in your life for Jesus Christ today? And I hope that you sit here this morning, you'll say yes with all my heart. That's how I want to live. I want to influence people like Naomi did. Because Ruth stated, "Your God is my God." That's how you should live. Naomi's response, like I said, is silence. She didn't say another word in Ruth 1 verse 18. She quit urging her. Now you think, why would that be? Because Ruth's faith, Ruth's testimony was she was overcome by what Ruth had to say to her. She was so convinced that Ruth accepted her God, that the conversation is over. She knew that there's no turning back. Ruth was a believer. She believed in this God that Naomi believed in. And they left to return to Judah. You know, on the screen, you'll see it. The name of Ruth in Hebrew means friendship. Friendship. And they both return to Bethlehem, and you know the story. Now, I'll give the gist here this morning. They meet a man by the name of Boaz, and we read through that scripture. You know, God orchestrates this whole entire thing. There's no such thing as luck in the world that you live in. It's God providence. When those things unfold and we see these pieces fit together, we understand it's the working of God. He does the same in our lives as well. And get this. Boaz is the great-grandson of Rahab, who we just learned about last week. And guess who the child or the grandchild of Boaz and Ruth will be someday? Here a couple or so years later, the great-grandson David is born from Boaz and Ruth. Are you fitting the pieces together here now? We have Rahab who gets married to so-and-so. Their grandson is Boaz. Boaz marries Ruth. They have a son. They have a grandson called David. You know that David has a son, Solomon, and da-da-da. All leads to Jesus Christ. Lineage. Look where Ruth came from. A Moabite worshiping false god by the name of Chemosh. A messed up life. A pagan land. Just like we learned about Rahab. Broken people that God redeems and saves and puts back together. Because God is in the business of recovering and healing broken people like you and I. We learned about that last week, didn't we? But what I want to focus on this morning is, what do we learn from this friendship that is formed between Naomi and Ruth in their life? Here's really where our lesson comes in this morning. We'll look at the entirety of the book of Ruth in our lives. Because what Naomi does is she takes Ruth under her wing. She mentors her in such a way that she encourages, she walks with, she prays for, she helps her navigate the relationship between her and this man called Boaz, that someday they get married and have a family of their own. Now let's look at this a little bit deeper this morning. So we have this picture of this great godly woman in Naomi, leading a young pagan woman to God in Ruth. Do you see that picture? A great godly woman in Naomi. She knew her Bible well. She understood her God well. She's probably older and experienced in life. To a younger woman who was new to this faith. A pagan, didn't know much about who God was, didn't know how to even probably worship God, or if you compare today, didn't know what church functioned like, didn't grow up in the pew. That was Ruth. That's what a mentor relationship looks like. Somebody who's versed in God, and you can say, well, it's between old and young. You can say, yes, that's true. But what about those that understand the ways of God? What are you doing for the people that don't know how to walk in this life and didn't grow up in church, the world we live in today? So let me ask you this question this morning. women. And you can say, well, I could use the adjective maybe older women or women that are experienced in church and know how things work. Do you have a friendship with younger women in the church? Don't worry, men, you're not off the hook either. It's coming. Titus 2, verse 3 and 4. I don't have this on the screen. Oh, I do have this on the screen. It's kind of small, but let me just read a snippet of you to this morning of what that says to us. It says this: older women teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Teach them the ways of God. That's what the book of Titus says. That's what we see Naomi doing with Ruth. She teaches. She brings along. She mentors. All right, men, now it's your turn. Men, you that are versed well in your Bible, you understand the faith, you grew up in church, you get it. Do you have a friendship with other men in this congregation that need leading, that are new to the faith? Maybe you didn't grow up in this church. Aren't used to doing things your way. And we'll talk about that in a little bit too. What are you doing? Because this is what the book of Titus says in 2 verse 1. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and endurance. That's what we're supposed to show to the younger men within the church. So in essence it says, to you that have been established in the church, to you that knows the ways of God and you know your Bible well, and maybe you don't think you know it well, but you know it better than others. So you have a responsibility before you that God says you must care for those that are new to the faith. And by the way, that's not an option. Some of you think it's an option. That's a command from God to His church. Let me talk to you about the difference between mentoring and telling someone what to do. There's a big difference. And Naomi and Ruth, they live this out so well that we need to learn from this. Because I believe today in the church, and it's in this church, and it's in other churches and so on, is that we are so used to being in the habit, in the culture that we live in, that we tell people what to do. What happens when you tell people what to do? If you don't know them very well and you don't have a relationship with them, you start telling them what to do. What will people do with that? What do you think, people? They'll shut down. They'll back away. They'll quit coming to things. They don't want any part of it. That's what the response will be. So what is different about Ruth and Naomi? It's a mentoring relationship, and you need to understand that things look different in a mentoring relationship when you live life together. And we'll pack that a little bit more, but here's what you might hear in the church today. This is how we've always done it. Anybody ever say that? I might even say that once in a while. But let me stretch you a little bit in your faith. What if God came to you and He said, I've given you my Ten Commandments. This is how we've always done it. Where would you be today? But God said, this is not how I'm always going to do it. I'm going to send Jesus to you. I'm going to change things up. And I'm going to send you a Savior, because if this is the way we've always done it, this isn't going to work today, and none of my people are going to make it to heaven. So why do we say in the church today, this is how we've always done it? Am I starting to step on a few toes now? Maybe. But here's the point, that if Naomi would have said to Ruth, this is how we've always done it, Ruth would have left. I don't need your God. See, people today are saying that to the church. And I have this little box up there this morning. And as we've been going through the Ritter Church Renewal, and we've been learning about how churches function and how people act and react and all this kind of stuff, let me ask you this question this morning. When you think about your life then, as, you know, a mentor is somebody who comes alongside and loves and leads and guides and instructs and lives life with someone. They don't just blurt stuff out and tell people, this is what you're going to do, this is how you should live. They walk with. The Bible uses a fancy word called discipleship in that process. But let me ask you this. When you think about your relationships, you can think about this in your family, you can think about this in your work, and you can also, what I really want you to think about is, how do you do this in the church? Because this is where you practice. But are you a builder when it comes to people in relationships in the kingdom of God? Are you in such a way mentoring, guiding, leading, loving people in a way that builds up? Or are you a bulldozer? I got that picture up there this morning of a guy standing in front of a bulldozer. You know, a bulldozer tells people what to do. They offend people. They hurt people. They push people around. They don't build up the kingdom of God like Naomi and Ruth were doing in the church and the people of Israel. People who are well-versed in your Bible, what are you doing with those younger people that don't know their Bible well yet, that don't always understand how church functions or what it should look like? Do you bulldoze in those situations, or do you build? What do? We know what the Bible says, right? But how are you doing it? Naomi, she loved. She encouraged. She gave advice. She walked alongside. She prayed for and lived life with Ruth. And when you start to live life with somebody, you start to understand who they are, how they function, how they think, how they operate, how they make decisions. And then you can enter into that without being a bulldozer and be a builder in someone's life. That's what Naomi did to Ruth. Can I be honest with you for a moment this morning? As your pastor in this church, that is probably one of the biggest areas that we need to work on. We fall so short in that area. The way we've grown, the young people that have come in, those that have been part of the church a long time, we struggle in this area. If somebody comes to me and said, Rob, what's the weakest area in your church that you think needs the most attention? I would without a doubt say to them, relationships between the people within our church family needs to improve. There are young ladies in this church that need mentoring so bad from the older ones. I've seen them hurt. I've seen them crying. I've seen them bulldozed over in their life. That's not what the Bible teaches. Some of you are doing a great job, and I want to encourage you with that. The way we treat each other is so important in the body, because everybody on the outside sees it. They hear it. And if we're going to be an example and we're going to bring people to Jesus Christ like Naomi did, then we have some work to do. We have some things in our life that we need to work on, me included, of how we do that. Because we assume a lot of things, don't we? Of how things should be because we might have grown up in it. But we're in a generation now that people come to church. I met with a young lady just before Christmas. She was maybe 23 years old that grew up not too far from here. The first time that I cracked the Bible open with her was the first time she ever had read the Word of God, ever. At 23, she didn't know what even the book of Genesis was at. You know, it's probably in the first chapter, the first book of the Bible. She had no clue. Do you see what we're dealing with today? We assume a lot of things, don't we? Generations have different ways of worshiping the same God. And so we need to respect each other through that process. Now back to that wooden pig, or that wooden leg, the pig, the pig with the wooden leg. Remember that story that I talked to you about? The two farmers are sitting on the fence and so on. You see, our job is not to eat our friends. Our job in the church is to build each other up, to strengthen the church here on earth, that others' lives may be changed. Sometimes I think we might eat each other. And how we do things. We have this avenue that we started about a year ago called care groups. Some of you have embraced them well. Others of you said, I don't want anything to do with them. You see, the bigger picture of the care group is for people to function in relationship with each other, to care for each other, to give you an avenue, like Naomi, to meet the Ruths in the church. And some of you say, well, I don't want anything to do with that. Then let me ask you this question then. If that's your thinking, then where's your faith? Let me ask you that question. Who's your Lord and Savior? Get involved in the life of the church. Get involved in your care groups. Get involved with other people's lives. That's what the Bible teaches. Some of you are doing the work. You're out there. But God says, if you're going to be a believer, I expect all of you to do this. It's not an option. That's the point. This morning, you need to make it, I need to make it a priority in our lives. And so, when people come to you with different ideas, different ways of doing things, listen. Don't bulldoze. Listen. And allow some things to happen and make some changes possibly. Those are hard things to do. I get that. But let me show to you this story how it plays out here. And I'm going to finish up here quickly. But when Naomi sent Ruth out to the fields to glean for food, when they returned Naomi did not tell Ruth to go to Boaz's field. They had this conversation. You can read it, and I think it's in Ruth 2 or 3. They get there. They find some shelter, and so Naomi, she's older. She can't work very much anymore, and life's getting harder for her to live. And so she says to Ruth, you need to go glean in the fields. And I hope that you can find someone who will accept you and that you can glean in and so on. And she sent young Ruth out. And Ruth comes back and Naomi asks, where did you glean today? And Ruth says, in the field of Boaz. And Naomi's lights and everything just lit up like, oh my gosh. Boaz, he's our kinsman redeemer. He's part of the clan of Elimelech. He's one of our relation. He's got responsibility to care for us. But here's the point. When things come into the church, young people are filled with the Spirit. They come with changes. Older people have wisdom. We need to find that common ground in the church today. Because Ruth and Naomi trusted God when she sent out Ruth that God would do his work. Get that? Do we trust people from generation to generation that God will continue to do his work? And that question and my answer to that is, yes, he will. Do you trust God? Because here's the thing, if we can trust God when he moves his church in certain ways, and I'm not talking about changing the word of God, but worshiping the truth of the scriptures, but when new things come into the church and things change, do you trust God in those moments? Because if you can, look at the blessing that Naomi received when she trusted God with Ruth to go to Boaz. What happened to Ruth and Boaz? What was the blessing there? Remember the story? What is it? What's the first thing that happened? They became what? Married, right? They're blessed. And then Ruth and Boaz, they have a child together. Another blessing for Naomi, for now she is a grandmother. And this young boy, I believe it's Obed, will carry on the lineage of Elimelech. Do we trust God to do what he's going to do with his church? That's a big question, isn't it? And I hope that you can work through that. And you can say, yes, I trust God. Because he'll bless us. Because if we trust God fully from generation to generation to generation, let me tell you what, we are all going to be very blessed. Every last one of us. In our lives. That's what the church should look like. So I encourage you to live in relation with others. May you build godly friendships, and may we build his church and his kingdom together that people may know who Jesus is. That's our goal. I'm going to tell you right now, you have opportunities to practice this over and over and over. The soup supper Tuesday night, your first practice session. How are you going to function? You going to build or are you going to bulldoze? When you gather as care groups, are you going to build or are you going to bulldoze? And if you're new to our church and you don't know what care groups are, just hang tight. We'll get there. We'll have a conversation with you. We'll let you know what that's about, what that looks like. That's what Naomi and Ruth teach us today, is friendship. And all of God's people said,